Chapter 66 Zip. Benny's civilian bike, Milgram now knew, was a 2006 Yamaha FCR1000, black and red. It was lowered, Fiona said, whatever that meant, and had something called a spondon swing arm, allowing the wheelbase to be lengthened at the drag strip. Quick off a light, she said approvingly. She was fully armored again, zipped and velcroed, the yellow helmet under her arm. Milgram was armored too, in borrowed nylon and Kevlar, stiff and unfamiliar, overteed and whipcord. The toes of Jun's bright brown brogues looked wrong below the black Cordura overpants. His bag, containing his laptop and the clothing he'd worn the night before, was strapped atop the Yamaha's tank, which looked as though it was gathering to spring from between a rider's thighs, a striking image now, with those thighs about to be Fiona's.
Wojtek is here to fuck Penguin.
They turned at the sound of his voice. He was walking toward them through the deserted bike yard. He carried a black Pelican case in either hand, and these, Milgram saw, unlike his screening cases, looked heavy.
With, corrected Fiona. Fuck with.
I, the pity poor immigrant. You do not, is Bob Dylan.
Why are you bothering, then? Demanded Fiona. The one in Paris was fine, and we've just gotten this one on the iPhone.
Order of Wilson, commissar of all fuckings with.
He brushed past them into the Vegas cube, closing the door behind him. Is there another helmet? Asked Milgram, eyeing Mrs. Benny's black one, which sat on the Yamaha's pillion seat.
Sorry, said Fiona. No. And I'll have to adjust the chin strap. Had a safety lecture.
You did?
Wilson.
She put the black helmet on Milgram's head, adroitly adjusted and fastened his chin strap. The hairspray seemed even stronger now, as if Mrs. Benny had been wearing it in the meantime. He wondered if he was developing an allergy. Fiona pulled on gauntlets, straddled the shiny Yamaha. Milgram got on behind her. The engine came to life. She walked them off Benny's yard, and then the bike seemed to take over. A very different creature than Fiona's big gray one. A tight but intricate circuit of Suffolk streets, feeling, Milgram assumed, for possible followers, and then over Blackfriars in a surge, working the gears, the red and white railings strobing past. He immediately lost track of direction once they were on the other side, and when she finally stopped and parked, he hadn't expected it. He fumbled with the fastenings under his chin. Got Mrs. Benny's helmet off as quickly as possible, looking up at this unfamiliar building.
Where are we?
She removed the yellow helmet.
Cabinet, the rear.
They were in a cobble-paved garden drive behind a stone wall. She dismounted, Milgram intrigued, as always, by the smooth flexibility this demonstrated. He got off as well, with no particular demonstration of grace, and watched as she hauled thick, snake-like anchor chains from the Yamaha's panniers to secure it. He followed her up the tidy cobbles to a porte-cochere. Pinstripes was waiting, behind a very modern glass door. He admitted them without Fiona having to buzz.
This way, please,
he said, and led them to a brushed stainless elevator door. Milgram found that the armored oversuit made him feel strangely solid, larger. In the elevator, he felt he took up more space, stood up straighter, holding Mrs. Benny's helmet in front of him with a certain formality.
Follow me, please.
Pinstripes, leading them through one self-closing, very heavy door after another. Dark green walls, brief corridors, gloomy watercolor landscapes in ornate gilt frames, until they reached one particular door, painted a darker green even than the walls, nearly black. A large italic brass numeral 4, secured with two brass slot-head screws. Pinstripes used a brass knocker on the doorframe, a woman's hand holding an oblate spheroid of brass, a single respectful tap.
Yes?
Hollis's voice.
Robert, Miss Henry. They're here.
Milgram heard a chain rattle. Hollis opened the door.
Hello, Milgram. Fiona. Come in. Thank you, Robert. You're welcome, Miss Henry. Good night.
They stepped in, Fiona's ungauntleted hand brushing his. Milgram blinked. Hollis was chaining the door behind them. He'd never seen a hotel room like this, and Hollis wasn't alone in it. There was a man on the bed, the very strange bed, with short but unkempt dark hair, and he was looking at Milgram with a seriousness, a sort of quiet focus, that almost triggered the cop-sensing mechanisms Winnie had last touched off in Seven Dials. Almost.
"You're Milgram, then? Been hearing a lot about you."
"I'm Gareth. Wilson. Forgive my not getting up. Legs buggered. Keeping it elevated."
He was propped against pillows in the wall, between what Milgram at first took to be the tusks of a mammoth, twin-weathered gray church window parentheses. An open laptop beside him, one of his black-trousered legs up on three additional pillows. Above him, suspended, the largest birdcage Milgram had ever seen, filled, it seemed, with stacked books and fairy floodlights.
"This is Fiona, Gareth," Hollis said. "She rescued me from the city."
"Good job," said the man. "And our drone pilot as well."
Fiona smiled.
"Hello."
"I've just sent Wojtek over to mod one of them."
"We saw him," Fiona said.
"He wouldn't have gotten the taser, but he'll have it now."
"Taser? Arming the balloon?"
He shrugged, grinned.
"Had one handy."
"How much weight?"
7 ounces.
"I think that will affect elevation," Fiona said.
"Almost certainly, speed as well. But the Penguin's maker tells me it will still fly, though not as high. It's silver, is it? Mylar?"
"Yes."
"I think a bit of dazzle paint's in order. Do you know what I mean?"
"I do," said Fiona, though Milgram didn't. "But you know I'm to fly a different sort of drone."
"I do indeed." "The box is on the bike?"
"It is, and I should have new dampers by now."
"What are dampers?" Milgram asked.
"Shock absorbers," Fiona said.
"Let me take your coats," Hollis said, taking Mrs. Benny's helmet, then Fiona's.
"I like your jacket," she said,
noticing Milgram's tweed when he'd shucked out of the stiff nylon coat.
"Thank you."
"Please," Hollis said. "Take a seat."
There were two tall, striped armchairs, arranged to face the man on the bed. Milgram took one, Fiona the other, and Hollis sat on the bed. Milgram saw her take the man's hand. He remembered their morning in Paris.
"You jumped off the tallest building in the world," he said.
"I did, though unfortunately not from the very top."
"I'm glad you're okay," said Milgram, and saw Hollis smile at him.
"Thanks," said the man, Gareth, and Milgram saw him squeeze Hollis's hand.
Someone rapped on the door, twice, lightly, not the brass lady hand, knuckles.
"Me, in it,"
said a voice. Hollis swung her feet to the floor, got up, crossed to the door, and admitted a very pretty young man and a less pretty girl. The girl carried an old-fashioned black leatherette case. They both looked Indian to Milgram, though he was vague about South Asians generally, but the girl was a goth. Milgram couldn't remember having seen an Indian-looking goth before, but if you were going to see one, he thought, you'd see one in London.
"My cousin, Chandra," said the young man.
He wore complexly distressed, very narrow black jeans, a black polo, and an oversized, ancient-looking motorcycle jacket.
"Hello, Chandra," Hollis said.
Chandra smiled shyly. She had perfectly straight black hair, enormous dark eyes, and complexly pierced ears and nose. Her lipstick was black, and she appeared to be wearing a sort of Edwardian nurse's outfit, though it too was black.
"Hello, Chandra," Hollis said. "Chandra and Ajay, Fiona and Milgram. And Gareth, Chandra."
Ajay was looking at Milgram.
"Bit of a stretch," he said dubiously.
"Spray you on the sides," said Chandra to Ajay. "That fiber stuff from a can, for covering bald spots. Have some here."
Now she looked at Milgram.
"He could do with a haircut, so that's in our favor, really."
Ajay ran his hand back through his hair, military short on the sides, but a silky black mop on top. He looked worried.
"It grows back," said Gareth from the bed.
"Milgram,
Would you mind taking your pants off?
Milgram looked to Fiona, then back to Gareth, remembering Jun in the back of Tenki and Tojo.
The waterproofs, Gareth said. RJ needs to get a sense of how you move.
Move, said Milgram, then stood up, then sat down again, bending to untie his shoes.
No, no, said Fiona, getting up. Zips for that.
She knelt in front of him, undid foot-long zips on the inner seams of the armored pants.
Stand up.
He did. Fiona reached up, drew the massive plastic fly zipper down, loudly ripped Velcro, and tugged the pants to the floor. Milgram felt himself blush, explosively.
Come on, said Fiona. Step out of them.